When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of our full moon edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And I'm messing with my microphone again. Mike, hold your breath.
So well. Turn the little knobs there.
Yeah.
You got to turn one clockwise and the other.
Well, you know, once I did this when Gary was here and the whole thing fell off.
That's what
so
we're afraid of.
He always hold his breath when I start messing with it. Anyway, hey, second hour going on here. It is a Robin and Martha Sunday, gifted mystic Mount Shasta. Mystic. Robin Alexis. Is
yeah,
here.
That's Robin.
And I don't know, well, we ran her promo, but if you don't know, she she co-hosts with her husband, Bob, who's cleaning the kitchen at the moment. Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. It is live every Wednesday at noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. She also hosts RobinAlexis.com and the Soul Spa. Before we get back to what we were talking about, Robin, was there anything you wanted to say about the show, your show or anything before where the show is over?
Well, I just hope that people will be interested and will give us a chance if they haven't already listened to us. It is robinalexis.com. Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis is on Wednesdays at noon, like you just said. But actually, Martha, I know we're going to move on to other subjects, but
to finish up what we were talking about before.
Yeah, there's a few voices here, and I didn't know if you'd want to hear them.
Oh, absolutely. But what I do want to finish up in saying is that I just want to let y'all know that Robin and I are diving in with both feet. Well, okay, we're jumping in with both feet in this, and we are doing our best. We're reading everything that Sri Yukteswar and Paramahansa Yogananda and Swami Kriyananda have written about all this stuff, and then so that we can absorb it and understand ourselves, then we're going to take their intuitive direction to bring it through to you and go to the levels that we're going to go with it on the show here to follow soul progressions and to learn more about this. So if you want to be a part of this and you really want to learn, it would be a good idea for you, to read Autobiography of a Yogi and The Yugas. Both are available at crystalclarity.com. And I was just going to say, Mike, it would be a good idea for you to get on board with this stuff, or you can just play the guy that doesn't know anything and
I'm the guy who's all ears. I find this all so fascinating. And as I said earlier, it's all a matter of just trying to grow and reach.
And I'm telling you. But, I mean, for the first time, I feel like I have that roadmap.
So it's definitely working for you. Yeah.
And it feels like truth in every cell of my being and my heart. You know, your brain can convince you of anything depending on what you look at. Your heart won't lie to you. I know with every cell of my being and my heart that this is my truth.
Yeah.
And it explains everything. And you know what also it's done for me? I have absolutely not a single qualm about what's going to happen at the end of 2012.
Sure.
And I'll tell you what, I don't think there's going to be any big whoop-de-doo.
Nor do I.
Because things don't change that fast. Yeah. And it's all explained in the yugas and why things are happening the way they are. And you know those commercials or that cartoon that's running around where the Mayans are sitting around and the calendar guy is chopping the calendar in the stone and he gets to the end of it and says, oh, I ran out of space. And everybody else says, oh, well, the joke will be on them in 2012, huh? I think that's probably all it's going to be, is they ran out of space.
It could be even less than that.
Right. I don't think there's anything to be concerned about. But yes, we are progressing and waking up, but we are in the fully into the Dwapara Yuga, and we are in the energy age, and we're supposed to be, and what we're doing now, and learning how to communicate with everything that we're doing now is totally explained, and is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. So how cool is that?
Yeah, it's working for you.
All right, Robin, who wants to chime in?
Well, I'm not sure if Tom is just jockeying for a position with you, but he's saying that your relationship with him is what will teach people. He's saying that, you know, he was with you, he witnessed you kind of in the birth of the direction of your spirituality, and now he's, you know, augmenting and being an advocate of what you're doing now. So he's saying that it's his relationship with you, that personal relationship, that... I don't know if he's taken more credit for what you've done than he should be or what. But anyway, he's speaking in regards to those types of correlations. Then the astrologer, I think her name was Libby.
Libby.
Okay.
Presby, yeah.
Yeah, Libby's here too, and she said that Buzzy came back at the time he did with the astrological configuration that he chose so that he could be the leader of the pride.
Not surprising, because he's that big pistol in a little package. And it's amazing to see this little 10-week-old kitten that is actually tiny, but he's like the biggest adult lion on the planet. And G-Man, so I've got King G, who I always thought of as a lion anyway. Robin, you said you've seen all my cats as a pride of lions in the past together.
Yes.
And actually, G is so cute. G even told me that he thinks Buzzy's kind of cute.
Aw.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, you have a third soul here, Steve Jobs.
Oh.
The Apple guy.
I'm getting ready to go buy a whole new computer system, and it's going to be Apple. Steve, will you help me?
He will definitely help you.
Cool.
He says he's helping you now.
Yeah. All right. Well, for the connection there, if y'all know, well, y'all know who Steve Jobs is and all the hoopla because he passed recently. Ooh, maybe he can help us understand. We can find out what level where he's coming from, because after he passed, it came out in the news that he only had one book downloaded on his own personal iPod. And that it was Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramhansa Yogananda, and that he read it once a year. So that's got to have some reason why he's chiming in now, right?
Yes.
So what's he want to say? Besides,
well,
he'll help me get a new computer set up.
I have to say that I did see him shake Tom's hand.
Oh!
But
huh.
Regardless of that, he said that...
They kind of look alike, actually.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. He says that... This path that you've chosen is the most efficient path to understanding, and that's what he wanted to say.
Ah.
Everybody knows that he was about, you know, being balanced and being productive and, you know, really just making the best of everything that one was involved with, and he's saying that this particular path is the most efficient path.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like a little of his energy, please.
Well, it was funny, too, because I'm like, what's he doing here? And then he joked with me the card game I was playing last night that evidently drew Tom was called Apple to Apple.
Oh, that is funny.
So I think these souls are, you know, are present now, but they're not going to keep
talking.
Well,
isn't that interesting? Because he didn't say it's the only path, because we know there isn't just one path back to God. That there is truth in all religions, and that was the whole point of Yogananda coming to the United States, the similarity in the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita, you know, are very, very similar. And that's why I love the ceremony and the ritual and the prayer at the temple, because part of the prayers, you know, are to saints of all religions. It is all inclusive. But what he said, it is the most efficient path. And I have to say, I totally agree with that. And then I was, and thank you, Steve, because I was, when I was, geez, when I was driving to the studio this morning and all, and last night when all this information was coming through that I wanted to talk about it on the show today, I asked, I said, how do I explain this without sounding like, you know, the Bible thumper, that this is the only way to do it? How do I say that? Thank you, Steve. Thank you. It is the most efficient way to get there. Not the only way, not the right or the wrong way. It is the most efficient way. Whew. All right, I think we're done.
Yes.
I mean, Mike.
and what do you mean by that? What do you mean we're done?
We're done with that subject for now.
I see.
Gosh, ask and ye shall receive. I totally asked that question. All right, we'll remember that. Okay, all right, let's get back to Animal World, shall we? Hey, yeah. How about some hot TV stuff? Okay. As you know, it's January and we're through the holidays, and so now all the series are coming back. Well, last night, two of my favorite series started again. Now, I didn't get to see either one of them because I was at the temple. But, hey, Mike, you will appreciate this, and Robin, too. I have become technically skilled enough that I've figured out how to use on-demand.
All right.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Now, granted,
that's a major breakthrough.
Well, I mean, it's like dirt simple. Anyone can do it. But, I mean,
But nevertheless, we remain impressed.
I have figured out how to do it. And both of these series are on demand. So I even checked last night when I got home. And since the first new episode aired last evening, they weren't ready on demand yet. So as soon as they are, I'm going to watch them. But on Animal Planet, my favorite cat show, it's called My Cat from Hell. And this is, you know, the animal, the feline behavior therapist. You know, he's a rocker during the day and feline behaviorist at night and does private counseling. And his name is escaping me for the moment. But he's just fabulous, the best I have ever seen. And I love his shows. The first season aired last year, and I think there were only like four or five shows, but they were all fabulous. Anyway, the first one, it looks like it's going to run now. At least it was last night at 8 o'clock on Animal Planet. So Saturday night, 8 o'clock in our area, but it's on Animal Planet, and it's also available on demand. And then last night also debut, same time, different channel, Dog Whisperer, you know, Cesar Millan. His show started again.
And what channel was that on?
Well, it says on the advertisement, it says new channel. So he was on National Geographic Channel. But now I think that there's a National Geographic Wild channel. So there may be two. They may have split now. And I don't quite get that because it says, but it's at 8 o'clock on Saturday also. But I think it's on National Geographic Wild Channel. But it's also on demand. So I won't be at the temple every Saturday night, but I also, if they're on back to back, both at 8 o'clock, I can only watch one. I will opt to watch the cats and then watch Dog Whisperer on demand. Okay. Now the other one, Robin. I saw this. They actually did this on Nightline, a special on this on Nightline, like Friday night. And they were highlighting a case of a woman who had her dog cloned.
Oh.
And there is a company in South Korea, you know, that you can pay $100,000 to and they'll clone your dog. And you got to wonder now that they're doing with dogs, how long is it going to be before they're doing it with humans? And there's a new television show. This lady convinced them to clone her dog. It was a little ragamuffin, you know, kind of mop dog named Trouble. And so she convinced them to do the cloning for $50,000 because they were filming this TV show. And it's called I Cloned My Pet. So just don't even get me. Well, we are getting me started on this one. Anyway, I Cloned My Pet, and I'm telling you, it's a new show. It's going to run on the TLC channel, and the first episode about trouble is this Wednesday, January 11th. Now, my thing about this is, and Robin, you can tune in to this situation directly, because this the dog's name is Trouble, a little mop dog. He's already been cloned, got him back, and she named him Double Trouble.
Okay.
Now, but then apparently, and of course, what I'd say, my belief here is that all you get is the physical body back.
That's
you
what
don't
I was
get
tell
the
you.
Soul vibration back.
Yeah,
now,
it's a
it is possible
soul.
We know because I have Buzzy back as Buzzy, I have Scooty as Ping, and Jilpy as Pong, and Mohawka as Sophie. I mean, souls can come back to you, and I think the souls could come back into those bodies, but I don't. My sense is that they don't. And then if you get more than one, now, and apparently in this cloning, another puppy was born, same cloning. So it looks like she's going to get the second one, and she's thinking about naming him Triple Trouble. But my sense is that neither, you know, she's going to get the body, and then so you might get the genetic behavior patterns that might be similar, but you're not getting the same soul vibration. So what do you, Robin, what are you getting on this?
Well, I got the same thing before you said it out loud, was that it's not the same soul, and that this is an unsophisticated way to begin to acknowledge our, you know, reincarnation and universal law and the bigger pictures that we've been discussing earlier in the show. Mm. So this is a human perception of reincarnation.
Yeah. But it's not, you're not reincarnating the same soul.
No, but maybe they don't care.
Well, I don't think they know. See,
yeah,
I think the people that do this, I don't think they know. Because if they did, well, no, okay, now I have to think about this for a minute. Because I'm thinking about Scooty. I love that Scooty's soul. But I also loved his Abyssinian body. He had the best
red
belly.
Yeah, you have mentioned that.
And his scoop paws and his face. I mean, I loved him. So, let's say if money was not an issue, would I have paid $100,000 just to get the body back? You know, and now I'm thinking, okay, I'm thinking, because now I have Scooty's soul back in Ping, but it's a different body. And I have to say, it isn't, you know, it's a smaller Abyssinian body. He doesn't have the great red belly. He has more of a fawn belly. But you know what? I love it just as much. I don't think I would. You know, I'm kind of surprised. I as much as I loved that body, I don't think I would.
What I'm hearing is that you would have communicated with the soul.
Oh, yeah.
And you would have asked that soul, does it want to come back in the clone body or not?
Well, that goes without saying. But I'm saying if I didn't understand that part, because, see, I think these people that are paying all this money to do this stuff, somehow they're thinking they're getting the same animal back. But you can't clone the soul. You can only clone the physical body. And there was some hint, which may come out on this show, I cloned my pet. No, that's right. There's a book that's been written. I forgot to tell you that. And the book is called Dog Inc. And I didn't get the author's name. It was a complicated name. I didn't get it. But the book is called Dog Inc. And it's all about this cloning business. And apparently, well, not all the clones survive, number one. Some they're born, but they don't live. And then we're seeing problems with the cloned bodies on down the line. And I think there just simply hasn't been enough going on with it yet. But I think we're going down a path we don't need to go down.
Yeah,
on this cloning business. I don't feel good about it at all, in any way, shape, or form. And you don't clone the soul. You only clone the body. And you know, look at me. I've got all of my beloved Cat friends. I've got Scooty. I've got Jilpy. I have Mohaka. And I have Buzzy. And G's already planning to come back in one of these hot little Abyssinian suits when he's done with his body at now at 14 and a half. And I didn't have to pay $100,000 for any of them. And I knew it was them. So, well, anyway, make up your own mind. Anything else on that subject, Robin?
Well, I'm getting flooded with so much. It's sort of jamming my circuitry, actually. You know, it turning it over to a higher authority, the divine, and in probably in each situation, looking at it and seeing what serves thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And maybe in the future, you know, those kinds of things will be appropriate and maybe they're not. But it's always a discussion of what serves the soul and the soul's purpose.
Yeah, and I actually think creating bodies and that kind of thing, that's God's department.
Yeah, that
I think that's God's job. And I don't feel good about the cloning, never have. I think that societies in the past have gotten themselves in trouble with that. And if you understand the yuga sequencing, it all makes sense. But we're also being told that in the learning curve we're on, we're going to learn how to do really good stuff energetically, but we're also going to learn how to do bad stuff. You know, and just because we learn how to do it or about it, like nuclear energy, doesn't mean that we're supposed to mess with it. And do stuff with it. And just because we learn how to clone doesn't mean that we're serving a higher purpose and we're supposed to mess with it, and it's not going to get us into trouble.
Well, look at cloning seeds and how that's changed everything.
Oh, the genetic manipulation and all that stuff, and we are really messing up the detail.
Mother Nature is...
Yeah, don't mess with Mother Nature. Okay, let's we'll take a little break here, and let's go through, because I do have some... follow-up and animals in the news here. Let's do a little bit of that before we get into the heavy-duty stuff. And I have to say, Mike, you were kind of right.
I was? How could that be?
I don't know.
Well,
I really don't know.
Tell us more. Tell us how Mike was right.
Well, remember, wasn't it last week that you were asking about the bird counts?
Yes.
And saying, wasn't there supposed to be a bird count?
I thought I saw
stuff?
Something.
And I said, well, you know, the Great American Backyard Bird Count, we talk about that every year, but I don't think that's yet. And you looked it up online, and it doesn't happen until February.
Correct.
Well, then, wouldn't you know, there's a big article this week, well, in last Sunday's Times. Gosh, maybe you're psychic. But it says, Christmas counting flushes out the birders. So there's more than one bird count. There's a Christmas bird count. And it's an unscientific census that shows population ebbs and flows. It is sponsored by the Audubon Society, and it's a 100-year-old holiday tradition. And it's been going on nationally since 1900.
Wow.
Originally a protest to the traditional Christmas bird hunt, popular with feather hunters.
Interesting, yeah.
So instead to counter the hunters, we're going to do a counting instead. And about 150 volunteers donned boots and binoculars in Seattle for the 2011 count. And it was Christmas Eve morning at 8 a.m. And in each group that registers with the Audubon Society in the area, a master birder goes with them. And they go out and trek around, count birds.
I think that's... That's pretty much what I recalled.
Yeah.
I think I read about it in the newspaper. Probably not last Sunday.
Don't ever say that I don't look out for your butt, too. See, you were actually right.
All right. So I got that going for me.
But we also have the great backyard, the backyard bird count, which...
In February. Correct.
Okay. Oh, I should tell you this. This actually comes up in programming. Later on, but since it happens to be in my news pile, I am excited about the rest of the shows this month. Next week, of course, is the third Sunday of the month, and that means that I'm going to Temple. So it's a Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller Medium and Animal Intuitive will be in the house. They will be hosting the show. Kim will be taking your calls and more doo-doo-doo-doo stuff.
And, oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, and so you'll be able to call. Kim can help you connect with your human or animal loved ones on this side or the other. And eventually we'll get Kim into all of this, too, so we can find out. They can't wait. At once, Robin, when you and I have a greater understanding of the planes of existence after life and in between lifetimes, I can't wait how we're going to follow soul progressions and to find out where everybody's communicating from.
I'm looking forward to it, too. Yeah, I'm getting imagery, but I'm looking forward to having the language to speak what I see clairvoyantly.
Yeah, so that's going to be really cool. So anyway, that reminds me. Oh, I got to tell you. You know, if you were here, if you listened to the Christmas show, then you heard Kevin McDonald, yes, and Kim Miller Medium and Animal Intuitive were here while I went to Temple on Christmas. And Kim shared with you, because they focused on, the emotionality of the holidays and how it can be a tough time for folks. Mike, you said it was kind of a tough going to start with because Kevin had so much crap happen around the holidays, and they were talking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then we also had a couple callers, and it is. It's tough. It's maybe not for everybody, but I think everybody gets a turn in the hopper where, the holidays is not so fun.
Well, the week before Christmas, Kim lost her beloved dog, Shasta. And Shasta was their big dog, their oldest dog. I think she was 12. And, Kim dearly, dearly loved her. And they had to say goodbye. And this was just the week before Christmas. Well, Kim shared with you on Christmas Day that she and Julie went right out and got a new puppy. And they welcomed their little chocolate lab female, Ella, into the family. Well, what she didn't tell you is the rest of the story. And, are you ready with our woo-woo alert? Okay,
yeah.
You better hit the button. Because, okay, here we go. There you go. Because Kim says she's not woo-woo. Kim is woo-woo.
I think Kim's woo-woo.
Kim, she says she's
in a good way. A good woo-woo.
Oh, of course. There's nothing wrong with woo-woo. Kim, but I have Kim's permission to share. So, here you go. So Shasta passes. They have to say goodbye to Shasta. And so then during the week, Kim calls me. And actually, she called me because I had sent flowers, which I, do my friends when there was an animal. And she'd call me, thank me for that. And then she said, Mike, you haven't been doing the show long enough to know that Kim often, in all the years she's been reading for people on the air, when people call and say, well, is that my animal friend, is the soul coming back? Most of the time, Kim says no. That doesn't happen all that often. So she's been kind of thinking that doesn't happen very often. But she's been very aware of all of my animal souls coming back to me and all this stuff. And she is one of the ones, since she's such a disbeliever in this happening a lot, even though she talks to dead people and dead animals, she doesn't necessarily believe they come back a lot. She is one of my best confirmations because I'll have her tune in. And she says, yep, it's Mohaka. Yep, it's Scooty. Yep, it's Jilby. And so she's been confirming all these things for me. Okay, so after Shasta passes, the middle of the week, she calls me up. We're talking on the phone. And she says to me, hey, Shasta told me she'd come back if I want her to. And I said, oh, really? Do tell. She said, yeah, she says she wants to, she'll come back. So I said, what'd you tell her? And Kim says, well, I said, yeah, okay. And so Shasta said, go look, because there's a body out there that I'd come back, and instead of, because Kim is one of those, boom, get another one right away, instead of waiting, like with Buzzy, when Buzzy said he wanted to come back, well, okay, we'll wait for the next to be born, okay? Not this way. Scooty and Jilpy found Abyssinians that were already born and whose souls were willing to switch out so they could take those bodies. Okay, so that's what happened. So Shasta said, there's already a body, there's something out there, get online and look. So Kim's telling me, she said, so she got online and she found a litter of chocolate lab puppies, and there was one female left that she wanted, and they wanted this female lab puppy, and they were going to name her Ella, and they were going to pick her up in a few days. And so Kim's saying, so anyway, we're going to get this puppy, and she's already here. But Shasta said there was a body out there, but I'm not quite sure how this works. And so I said, well, if you'd like a little help, what you need to do is contact Chico. And if you all remember, if you heard the story where Robin and I, the show where Robin and I told you the whole process of Scooty and Jilpy coming back as Ping and Pong, we ran into this soul that we call Chico, and who explained to us that as a soul, what he did was help souls move in and out of bodies, and that he would hold a body Until, what's the best example? Like if my old G-Man said he was going to die before Buzzy's litter was born, Chico would hold a body for him until he was out of his body, and then Chico would switch him out. So anyway, Chico is the switch soul guy. So I'm saying to Kim on the phone, I'm saying, if you'd like some help, you need to contact Chico, who's this soul that will, and Chico will help Shasta get into that. Well, Chico will negotiate with the soul that's there, and it will help Shasta make the switch. And Kim's going, oh, okay, really? And then all of a sudden in my third eye, I've got Chico. Chico says, she didn't have to ask. I'm here. I'll do it. And so I said, okay, Kim, Chico's here. He says he'll do it. Do you want to do this? And Kim says, well, just a minute. Let me ask Shasta. Shasta says, she wants to do it. So then I said, okay, Chico, we want you to orchestrate this. So, and then all of a sudden Chico's saying, okay, I'm in. I've talked to the soul. I'm in the body. I'm in it now. Shasta's saying to Kim, okay, I'm going in now. Come and get me. And bam, it all took place right there on the phone.
Wow.
So how do you like that?
That's pretty intense.
So Woo Woo Kim was like into it up to her eyeballs.
She had an experience.
Chico came in. He told me immediately, I'm in the body. I've got it. Shasta said, I'm going, Kim. I'm going. I'm getting in now. And bam, so how do you like that, Robin?
Hey.
It isn't just you and I that are out there in the ozone.
Well, and the thing, too, is it works in a different frequency of time, you know, on the soul. It's the speed of light. It's a completely different.
I was blown away at how quickly it all went down. And the other confirmation is that, remember I told you, and Mike, I think you'll remember this. I think I said it on the air the week before Christmas, when working with Scooty and Jilpy and Mohaka and Ping and Pong and Sophie, that I had determined, and I believe that when animal souls come into new bodies and reincarnate, that the veil comes down for them as well. Which is part of one of my other things, is how come we just don't remember when we come back in? And apparently that doesn't serve our soul growth and all of that. I was saying that I believe the veil comes down because I think we can talk to their higher selves. And that's another thing that Robin and I have to tune into and find out exactly who are we communicating to and when. Because if I communicate with Ping and Pong as Ping and Pong, it's not like talking to Scooty and Jilpy. But then on the other hand, I can communicate with Scooty and Jilpy, but I have to do it outside of those two bodies, and I'm still a little confused about all of that, and Robin and I have to straighten that out so we can explain it to everybody, but first we have to explain it to me. So anyway, so Kim was able to confirm that, hit that woo-woo button again.
I just love that.
Kim
so
says to
fun.
Me, she says, on this phone call, without any prompting, Kim says to me, she says, hey, you know, Martha, Shasta told me that when she comes back in as the puppy, once she's into that body, she won't remember. She had already told Kim that before any of this went down. When I come back, I won't remember. So how do you like that?
Well, we need to have energetic boundaries so that we can fulfill the soul's purpose of any particular incarnation. If we remembered everything, we could become very dysfunctional.
Well, and that's the masters told me years ago when I was just starting, you know, my spiritual path and communicating. They said, you know, that only an aspect of your higher self comes in to each incarnation. It's whatever aspects you're going to need in that lifetime. And it's like, because if everything in your higher self came in, I mean, you just like to explode. You don't have enough room for it and you can't handle it all.
It's very challenging. I remember a lot of my past lives, and it's even come into play with my relationship with Bob, because I remember my past lives with him, and if he did something 800 lifetimes ago, I didn't let him forget it when I first met him. And it was pretty entertaining from my perspective to be able to speak my truth, even though I'd dropped a body a few times.
Well, and the other interesting thing is in this yuga book, the explaining the yugas, the cycles, it explains all of that. Because in certain cycles, the human capacity can't handle this kind of information. But as we're on the up cycle now, we're on the upswing now, folks, good news. And so we're going to be able to do more and more and more of this stuff. Very cool. All right. So into the news, let's see, do we need to do that? Oh, I don't think we need to do that. Well, let's see. Are you getting any starlings coming in there, Robin?
I'm hearing yes. Whatever that news story was that you were hesitant, I heard yes.
Okay. Walla Walla official vows not to poison starlings again. Thousands of birds killed near landfill. Concern about disease that flock carries. Nevermore is the vow of a city official about a recent starling eradication program that left a couple of Sudbury landfill neighbors' yards littered with hundreds of dead birds. Can you imagine this? It's a landfill in like Walla Walla that had 5,000 starlings hanging out, you know, and people get really mad at starlings because they're an invasive species, you know, and they hang out and they poop all over the place and all that sort of stuff. Well, so the landfill guy put out poison boxes, you know, poison-filled feeders, and let the birds eat, and then, you know, the neighbors come out the next day, and there's like the ground is like black. It's like covered with starlings everywhere. So they weren't happy, and so apparently now the owner of this landfill has vowed he'll never poison the starlings again. But I'm wondering, obviously poisoning was not the answer. What do the starlings have to say? Are they okay being mass exterminated?
No, what they're saying is the soul group needs assistance in the transition process.
Ah, because they were eradicated so inconsiderately.
Yes.
That we need to do a little, we need to help them?
Yes.
Well, there's 3,000 of them.
Oh. Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, I don't feel like that's something that we're going to do instantaneously here. I mean, I know we talked about the speed of light, but I feel like there needs to be some sort of organization.
Okay, so after the show?
Yeah, or if it comes through what, you know, during the show, I could speak about it, but there feels like there were different functions, if you will, for some of the different souls within that cluster of the 3,000 birds approximately that were killed. So you've got to address certain individual ascension processes. You can't just do it as a soul group because they weren't intended to participate in a death experience as a soul group.
Well, you know, it would be interesting to find out from them. Now, there's apparently 2,000 that are still left of that group at this landfill. And this isn't the only place in the world that these kind of what would be called infestations of starlings. What do the starlings have anything to say about how we could better handle these situations? Is there an answer?
What I'm hearing is blatant human stupidity. It's that they are a repercussion of short-sighted thinking. and what's happened to them. Mm-hmm. And as we are looking at, I am beginning to see the energy just sort of lighten up a little bit. I may break into, you know, song or something like I do sometimes when the energy is shifting around.
Well, if you do that, Bob will hit the woo-woo alert. Mike will.
they were also speaking a bit about genocide, you know, how that's been done to groups of humans and how mm-hmm. then the groups of humans also get stuck in time and space and have inefficient passing. And now I'm getting, we're going to the Yuga book and an understanding of that and what can happen with different souls kind of getting stuck in time and space continuum pockets and how that inhibits the fluidity of the natural process of the astrological influences. In other words, this creates an adverse astrological influence. And when that happens, that's what creates the drag and can create different symptomology that we experience on the planet. You know, talking about like Earth changes and you know, how people treat each other, or how they're treating the animals or the birds or nature or whatnot. It creates a distortion, and then there's a lack of communication with one's own higher self in an understanding of how to move things in a cohesive manner that serves the best and highest good of all life forms on this planet and beyond. Now, I was just channeling, so I'm not actually 100% positive of what I just said. So did anything I say make sense?
Well, I don't know. I kind of got lost in the show because I've got a lot of stuff coming in, too.
Okay.
Mike, did that make sense to you?
It did, yeah.
Okay.
Could you say it back in, like, normal terms, or was that normal terms?
Well, it was pretty lengthy. I'm not sure I could.
Okay. Well, but the concept was...
Part of what I'm wondering about, too, is... I mean, obviously, you were saying stuff about stupid humans and choices and all that kind of thing and how we created this problem. But as part of the karma or what we pay as having to destroy these animals, because I was also seeing the feral cat population, and something that I've said over the years is that maybe part of the price we pay for being so irresponsible with cats is the fact that we have to kill so many of them now. And that maybe if that, you know, touches enough human hearts, maybe we'll change our behavior. But, I mean,
yeah.
So we obviously created the problem with starlings to begin with, but what do we do with the situation? How do we get ourselves out of it? And what do we do? I mean, there's still 2,000 more. They're going to keep breeding. There's going to be more of them. What do you do? How do we handle a situation like this?
Well, what I'm hearing you're talking about is the downside of human thinking. And if we remember to turn our process of thinking over to the divine mind, the higher states of consciousness, even within, I'm hearing, the starling community, that as we help those souls, that soul group coalition of the starlings that were killed, then that frees up the communication even for the starlings that are still in their starling bodies to be able to function more cohesively in a way where they might not even go to a place where they know that they could potentially be killed. So it's not just the human consciousness that gets raised. It's the consciousness of everything that gets raised, and then the whole thing, the whole functionality of everything begins to perform at a higher level of consciousness.
And
now Steve Jobs is coming back in and saying, and that's what the being the most efficient way is all about. And he's talking about, too, how when you help the ancestors or when you help souls that have gone to the other side, even if you're helping them to move in a different state of consciousness or come back into some sort of form, it's all about the progression of raising the consciousness and seeing the results of that.
Yeah, and this Dwapara Yuga that we are in now, and fully in now, is called the Energy Age, and we are going to be learning about energies and how energies affect one another and all this sort of thing. And maybe that's part of what we're going to learn is how we affect the animals, and that if we raise our consciousness and our understanding and change our behavior, our belief systems, and how we handle these situations, it's going to affect what the animals do as well.
Well, I'm getting another insight, too, and it is that in the general theory that I understand it is that in human consciousness, we tend to, as a collective, vibrate to the lowest vibration of consciousness, but other life forms vibrate to the higher state of consciousness. So that's something that maybe we'll get recalibrated to as we begin to open up to, what did you call it, the energy?
The Dwapara Yuga?
Yes. Yeah. What was that, the energy something? We'll learn more about energies and how they work, whether we're in form or out of form.
Right.
Everything's
energy.
Well,
we are in the energy age, and that's
energy
what we're learning
age,
about.
That
is,
was
is
it.
We're learning about energy.
All and
kinds
one of the
of
ways,
energy.
Yeah,
and
the
good
way that we
bad.
Learn is, unfortunately, we make mistakes, and hopefully we learn from them. And that's what I'm hearing from the starlings, is this is just a mistake.
Yeah.
And so now I'm feeling a lot of movement as the energy's starting to shift.
Well, and
it's
maybe
a very
part of the learning is the owner of this landfill vowing to never kill them this way again. So they'll have to figure out a different way.
Well, bless his soul for being someone who will openly admit that he had an error in judgment and choose a different path. Bless him. May we all be like that and as we learn to grow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Excellent. All right. Now, we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. And please pay attention, because without them, there's no us. And support them. Thank them for supporting Animal World. We'll come back and do a very quick current events, and then we'll get right back into animals in the news. And then, of course, in the third hour today, the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to get into all the really, we haven't even gotten to the really hot stuff yet. Whew. Did you know we were eating gray squirrels in Seattle? Oh, going to talk to the squirrels and whales and all kinds of stuff. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know, even if you feed the highest quality all-natural food, even if you home-cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. Well, that's why Designing Health created Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all-whole natural raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it, mix up your animal friend's food, add in the Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it in, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. The Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats. There is a Missing Link formula for dogs, one for cats, a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats, and other house critters like rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, and the like. There is a bird formula and a horse formula, and a Missing Link with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies. You can find it at your veterinarian, too. And if you can't find it or are not sure where to look for it, you can go directly to Designing Health, give them a call at 1-800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage and check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and the exciting new manual ligament therapy series. Go to nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 206-463-1425. That's 206-463-1425. Or check them out on Facebook.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Robin Alexis is offering a limited number of beautiful Golden Healer Lemurian crystals. These crystals are used by healers for their ability to magnify the flow of vital life force throughout the body, to promote healing, to reduce fear and anxiety, to induce a state of deep relaxation, and accelerate tissue healing. These crystals are also powerfully energized to activate the crown and solar plexus chakras, which assists you to obtain a more conscious connection to spirit. Golden Healer Lemurian crystals are a marvelous tool for doing any kind of energy work, meditation, or healing. In addition, these special crystals have been blessed by Robin Alexis at sacred sites at Mount Shasta. You can purchase these crystals for $22.95 from Mystic Store at robinalexis.com. Or email Bob at robinalexis.com for details. There is only a limited supply of these Lemurian crystals, so they're offered at a first-come, first-served basis.
No other station brings you this much variety. Welcome to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk. I want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It's the second Sunday of the month, and that means it's Robin and Martha Sunday. Mike's here, too, and we're just getting into animals in the news and tuning in to various animal situations. And right now, before we get back to that, though, it's time for current events. It's not time for current events. It is time for current events. There we go. Now it's time for current events. All those little jingle cats, they sound like my Buzzy. And speaking of entertainment, because he does mouth off when he's not getting what he wants. He is going to be the leader of the pack, the king of the lion pack, I think. All right, current events list. Remember that, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife's Carilion Bear Dog Cash seriously blew out his knee and needed reconstructive knee surgery to the tune of about $6,000. And Martha Jordan is fundraising to help pay Cash's vet bills. If you go to my website, MarthaNorwalk.com, look at the first listing, there's an address where you can send a check to help pay for Cash's knee replacement. Free spay and neuter for pit bulls and pit bull mixes at NOAA Rescue in Stanwood. And on Wednesdays, coming up this January 11th, and then again on January 25th. God bless me.
Bless you.
Thank you. You must qualify and earn less than $45,000 a year. Seems like a lot. Anyway, give them a call, 360-629-7055 for information and appointments. Remember, you can still get a 2012 Meow Cat Calendar at Meow Shelter in Kirkland. They're only $10. And at the Northwest Stream Center in Everett. I love this. Beavers, the best damn movie ever. Free showing at the Northwest Stream Center in Everett on Friday, January 13th. Woo! We have a Friday, January 13th coming up. 7 p.m. Call for a reservation as space is limited. Northwest Stream Center, phone number is 425-316-8592. And I think that does it for the most current stuff on current events. You can go to MarthaNorwalk.com, click on current events to get everything else that's listed there. And then I want a program alert. We've got Kim Miller Medium with Kevin McDonald next Sunday in the studio. I'm going to Temple. Oh, boy. And they'll have open phone lines throughout the show so Kim can help you communicate with your human or animal loved ones on this side or the other. And she's also good at answering general psychic questions, and it could be a Kim Miller dating show. At least that's what it was on Christmas, wasn't it, Mike?
Least relationships.
Yeah, so that sometimes happens. And then the following Sunday is the fourth Sunday of a five-Sunday month, and I am just delighted to say two of our all-time most favorite guests return to the studio. Adventure Travelers Helen and Bill Thayer will be live, and I can't wait to hear all about their latest adventure. They walked another 900 miles through the Sahara Desert. They went through four countries, leading their four camels, George, Henry, Fluffy, and Blackie. And they were with a native Berber family that was looking for a better water supply. And a lot of problems can happen when you're crossing the Sahara Desert on foot, and we'll hear all about it. And, you know, Helen's like 79 and Bill's like 85. Unbelievable what they do. And they're getting the whole presentation from this trip ready for the Adventure Classroom. We'll tell you how you can get them into your kids' classroom or to any of your organizations. The talks they do are phenomenal. We'll talk about all their books and all that good stuff. So Helen and Bill Thayer back in the studio again. And I can't tell you just how this will be, Mike. This will be your first time with Helen and Bill. You haven't met them.
I have not. Looking forward to it.
Well, you know, Helen is the woman that the first woman ever to walk solo to the North Pole.
Oh, wow!
Walk without resupply. And you know when she did that?
I do not.
She was 50 years old.
That's impressive.
Wow. Yeah.
Very impressive.
That's her first book, Polar Dream. Unbelievable. You will not be able to put it down until you finish reading it. She spent her 60th birthday at the South Pole, all by her little self, with a frozen cupcake. Yeah. Yeah. They have trekked the Sahara before. They're two of the only people that have ever walked the Mongolian desert and seen a Mongolian bear. They have done the Amazon River. They've had to jump in the river to avoid killer bees. They've survived piranhas. They've been shot at by natives. They were almost killed when they had to cross the Chinese border from the Mongolian desert to go after their camel. Tom and Jerry, one of them went over the border, and Helen had to pull the elder card. We're older than you people. You have to respect us. So they decided not to kill him. Whoa, amazing. All right, that, believe it or not, we have talked our way through another hour already. So let's turn this puppy around, and then we will come back, and we will get back into Animals in the News and tuning in to all this stuff. If you need to contact us, you can send us an email while we're on the air to animalworldlive@hotmail.com, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. We're turning this right around, so stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.